Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Outbreak Podcast, an outlet for discussing creativity and the great beyond. We also discuss everything from gaming to film to the dark and dreary corners of the internet. I'm your host on this wild ride, William Key. As with most weeks, I also found myself today wondering if I was even going to get to recording an episode today. And I'll tell you why. Finn has come down with some form of a bug. I think it's like a cold or something, a really nasty cough. And right now in Ontario, there's been an outbreak of like an enhanced flu and also RSV going around. So there's a worry that it could be RSV. I had to keep him home from daycare today, and you know, watching him and just seeing him sort of struggle, lose his appetite, and just be overall like not in the mood to like eat, drink, or whatever, it hurts my heart to watch. And that's the one thing as a parent that, like, until you actually do it yourself, it's one thing to experience it, you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, if I'm sick, I don't want to eat or drink either until I'm feeling better. But for him, you know, he can't really express that to you. So all he does is he sort of, you know, turns his head away, or he kind of starts wailing or crying. He's coughed so much in the past like 18 to 24 hours that now his little voice is sort of cracked. And every time he tries to, like, you know, raise his voice, he squeaks. And I know his throat is hurting. So I've been giving him Motrin. I've been giving him cough syrup, and trying to also keep with his routine. But I've also, and I was talking to my wife about this today because she was working in the office today and I was home with him alone. I've just tried to be as patient as I can. I know I talked about on the last episode too that there have been times where my mood has been sort of up and down and I haven't really felt as if like I've been in the right headspace. And sometimes I feel like Finn catches on to that. He's like a puppy in that way. You know, people just naturally have a sense that they can tell something is not right. And so I think he gets the sense that when I get frustrated, it flusters him. So I was basically trying to get him to eat and drink some stuff. He did drink a fair amount today, which I'm glad for, because I mean, as long as he's staying hydrated, then he should be okay. Like, he was eating like minimal food. He had eggs and toast this morning for breakfast, which was fine. Couple of bites of a muffin. He had some scatterings of cereal and crackers throughout the day. He had like three pieces of like Greek like triangle bread, which that was weird. And then he had about seven bites of macaroni. You know what I mean? Like that's pretty good when I kind of, you know, big picture think about it. Like that's better than most kids who don't want to eat. The last time Finn got really sick, last year around this time when he was first going to daycare, he didn't want to eat anything. And it was even a struggle to get him to drink water. So what I've been doing is I've been taking the Pedialyte. I've been calling it juice. He likes the taste of it because it's fruit punch. I'll mix it with water so he's still getting hydrated. He drank a whole 2 cups of Pedialyte today. And then he had like about half a cup of water as well. He had a bottle before bed just to sort of bring up his fluids. And I'm talking about this like I'm talking to fellow parents just so they can understand. But this is for the parents out there. The people who aren't really parents probably won't understand the struggle, but it's real. It's a real struggle. It's hard to watch him not feeling well. I rubbed his back today before his nap and he fell asleep like right away. He was super exhausted. And, you know, it was that time he slept for about 2.5 to 3 hours. It's, you know, can't say it was all uninterrupted sleep. You know, the coughing tends to wake him up. It woke him up last night around midnight too. And so we had to wait for him to settle down again. And that's been the challenge, is when the coughing is bad like this, it disrupts his sleep pattern. And right now he's sort of sitting in bed right now playing with his dog and his llama toy. And I just hope that he gets better. You know what I mean? It's poor timing because of the fact that it's close to the holidays, but it's also, we've got a work gala coming up this weekend and I kind of want to go to it, but I am also willing to sort of sacrifice not going to it if it means that I can look after my son and make sure he's okay. That's basically everything with that. It was his second birthday this past Sunday. He did turn 2. He was getting over a flu over the weekend. So literally he transitioned from the flu to this cough cold. So it's been a week of just straight, something's been up with Finn. He has not been himself. He hasn't been eating and drinking properly all week. But he had a lot of fun on his birthday. He hung out with other kids. He was playing. And that's all that really mattered to me. got way too many presents. Like, I'm like looking at my apartment now with some gift bags, and I'm like, now I'm gonna have to throw it or donate some of his old toys and then bring in the new ones. Like, it's overwhelming how many presents he got. And I gotta say, this was by far the worst tasting cake that I think I've ever had. We got this cake, this slab cake from this grocery store, Sobeys here. And it was about $70 for a half slab. It was a pretty decent size, you know, and it actually, we took home a fair amount of it. But what ended up happening was I didn't have any cake at the venue. I actually had cake when I got home afterwards. We were hanging out with some people when Finn went to bed. And then I tasted it and I'm like, oh my God, this is like the icing is not even that appealing. And then I realized the cake part too. Like, usually when the icing's good, the cake's good, but it's like a 1-2 punch. Ugh. And so I tried to have another slice the other day. I wasn't feeling the greatest on Monday. I was like pretty sore and pretty gross on Monday. Tuesday, I felt a little better. So I tried the cake and then I thought to myself, oh, I can't eat this. This is gross. So I told Sam, I said, Sam, I think I'm actually going to just throw out the rest of that cake. I'm really disappointed because I was really hoping people would not eat the cake so I could take a big chunk of it home, but it ended up being the most unappealing cake I've ever ordered. So I'm disappointed about that. It's been a pretty dull week too in terms of like what I've been playing and watching. Funny enough, I was going to talk about Andor, but then I realized I'm not caught up all the way to episode 11. So the only thing that I'm basically caught up on show-wise is Bachelor in Paradise. That's literally how slow of a week it's been. Aside from watching like Finn's regular programming, I haven't watched any shows. I haven't played any games. I just haven't been in a mood. I haven't even watched any YouTube. I'm like, I don't know what's going on with me this week. It's been a completely off week. And I think part of it is due to, you know, the anxiety and stress around dealing with a sick child. But also, I just haven't really had a lot of free time to myself. And I haven't been using that time properly. And so that's my own fault. And I need to work on that clearly. But priorities, you know what I mean? Looking after the child first before you kind of take care of yourself. And I'm happy that I actually sat down to do today's episode, because originally I looked at it and I thought to myself, like, it's a pretty slow week for news. Maybe other people will find better stories, but the stories that I found this week were not like, wow, they were not big picture, like massive stories. I think we'll get into it right now. The first story I want to talk about was this whole Elon Musk controversy this week. He was basically giving his team an ultimatum that was ending at 5 p.m. Eastern time today. And he was reaching out to the company, to managers, to staff, to see if they were hardcore enough to continue to work for him, to basically up their hours of work and to work to the highest degree of excellence. Anything lower than that, or if they're unable to, you know, make do, that they would just be given 3 months severance and they would be let go instantly. I haven't seen any updates in terms of if he actually let people go at 5 p.m., but there were new emails that were sent around to Twitter employees today that were obtained by The Verge. And Musk had actually dared managers to approve remote work at their own risk by saying, at the risk of stating the obvious, any manager who falsely claims that someone reporting to them is doing excellent work or that given a role is essential, whether remote or not, will be exited from the company. He had also given all employees until 5 p.m. Thursday to say yes to staying at his extremely hardcore version of Twitter or leave. He said, and cutting out that last paragraph because I already read it, regarding remote work, all that is required for approval is that your manager takes responsibility for ensuring that you are making an excellent contribution. It is also expected that you have in-person meetings with your colleagues on a reasonable cadence, ideally weekly, but not less than once per month. Okay, so what I can gauge from that is that aside from the fact that he wants to sort of have this hardcore workplace, that first paragraph doesn't feel entirely unreasonable. I think that, like, you know, you expect that you get excellent work from your employees. I wouldn't say hardcore. I wouldn't say that you basically develop crunch around the employees that are basically, they have to give up their personal lives in order to make Twitter the best thing it can be within a certain time frame. Whether he's being faced with crunch and he's just basically saying, like, I got to make this work or else, you know, I'm screwed. The weekly meetings thing, I don't see that as a big deal. No less than one meeting a month, also really don't see that as a big deal. But it's when he said that, like, if managers are lying about the good employees and they're going to basically be exited from the company. It's very extreme. And I feel as if it's like he's making his own rules. It's like the Wild West currently at Twitter. And it's not okay. I think that there needs to be some level of scalability in terms of discipline. You know, if I feel like, at least for the company I worked at, you know, we gave write-ups, we gave suspensions, we gave disciplinary. We don't just necessarily fire them from the company for, say, maybe saying something bad about them on Twitter. I understand it's Twitter, for example, and so he sees it all. He sees when somebody's talking bad about him. I think that he's just kind of letting the power go to his head. And he's even stated that he doesn't know how much longer he wants to be CEO of Twitter. So this seems like he's going to basically come in, ruin Twitter, and leave. And then people are going to be left to pick up the pieces. We're already seeing this Twitter verification checkmark that's sort of been instated, that you see the gray check marks, you see some blue check marks. You pay the $8 a month to keep your blue check mark, and therefore you're super verified. But other than that, like, I haven't seen any major changes in terms of the layout of Twitter otherwise. So who knows? I'd say within the next month or so, we might see some drastic changes. That's if Elon Musk is still even at the head of Twitter by this point. He's currently facing other, you know, legal disputes with his other companies like Tesla. So he seems to be battling court cases while he's also trying to run three companies. So he's eventually, the dam is going to break for this guy. People are already viewing him in a very negative light, which is unsurprising because he's sort of a power hungry individual. But, you know, that's neither here or there. The man wanted Twitter. He bought Twitter. It's the people with the power and the money just get whatever they want. And, you know, they don't really care about the little people. That's definitely seems to be proven with Elon Musk in this situation. Moving away from that sort of negative big story, I do want to get into two stories about nominations for two different things. We got, first off, we got the official nominations for the 2022 Game Awards. And unsurprisingly, the games that were listed on this list include God of War Ragnarok, Elden Ring, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, A Plague Tale Requiem, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. So these are the seven games that are being nominated, or sorry, six games that are being nominated for Game of the Year 2022. I mean, what more do I really have to add to this story other than the fact that I'm not really surprised, obviously, about God of War and Elden Ring? I think those two are the top two contenders. Stray is a big surprise. I think Stray took the world by storm this summer, being, you know, one of the first free major indie games that you can get on PlayStation Plus. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is sort of that one that's like, okay, I guess Nintendo needed one on this list, and so they went with that one. You know, you also had Kirby and the Forgotten Lands, but I guess it didn't square up to Xenoblade. So I don't think that it's going to get any nominations. And then Plague Tale Requiem, which I believe is... Oh, sorry. And I forgot about Horizon Forbidden West. So Plague Tale and Horizon, those two are basically like... They got slotted in, because I think Plague Tale was probably one of the top games on the Xbox Game Pass this year. I've heard a lot of people say this is their game of the year. I have no clue about this series. I didn't even know that this was a sequel to another game from a couple of years ago, but people are saying that this is like an amazing series. So it's one of those I have to kind of keep an eye on. Horizon Forbidden West, I feel like, was just thrown on this list because it's Horizon and, you know, Zero Dawn was such a staple hit for Sony. It seems like Sony is definitely dominating on the charts this year. They've got three major games on there, and then Elden Ring is sort of that swing vote, could go either way. But it seems clear that Sony has a greater chance of winning Game of the Year for one of their games this year. I still think that my vote is going to Elden Ring. You know, I've heard mixed reviews on God of War Ragnarok, surprisingly, because again, God of War Ragnarok, it's not reinventing the wheel, but it's sort of, you know, continuing along the path of what already made it excellent in 2018. I believe it won Game of the Year in 2018. I'd say it's the next best contender behind Elden Ring, but I do think that Elden Ring does deserve this because I feel as if it's one of those games that you see every 4 or 5 years that people are going to be referencing back to when people are making games, much like Dark Souls games, much like Zelda Breath of the Wild, much like Red Dead. People are going to be making reference to Elden Ring for years and years to come until the next best thing comes around. So that's for my nomination. We'll talk a little bit more about Game of the Year closer to the end of the show, but I do want to move on to our next story quickly, which is another set of nominations. And this time, video games are actually being nominated for the first time ever Grammy Award. And I want to give you the list of the nominees for this year's Grammy Awards. First off, Aliens Fireteam Elite. Then we got Assassin's Creed Valhalla Dawn of Ragnarok, Call of Duty Vanguard, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and Old World. So these five games, which I didn't realize these all came out in 2022. I actually think Guardians came out in 2021, but that's fine. This is, they're kind of calling back the last 2 years. I haven't played any of these games. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. But I want to actually know, this isn't going to be part of the poll question, but if you guys have played any of these games, what do you think has the best music? I recognize names like Austin Wintory as well as Bear McCreary, because I believe they're the musicians that did Journey, as well as Bear McCreary's done a lot of television work. They're big names that I could see definitely pulling it out of the park. But Guardians of the Galaxy 2 also seems like one that like should win, because of the fact that Guardians is now synonymous with like 80s and 90s like classic rock music, just because the movies kind of made it popular, and now they kind of echo it on the animated television show as well. But then you've got Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That's one I'm not too sure about. I don't even know what Old World is. I've never heard that game mentioned at all, ever. Somebody could tell me a little more about what that is. I might research it after the show. But that was a surprise fifth choice. Assassin's Creed Valhalla Dawn of Ragnarok. This one, maybe top three. I'd say it's going to be between probably the middle three. Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, and Marvel's Guardians. Only because of popular vote, popular appeal. And it could very well go to either Guardians or maybe Call of Duty. That's where I'm going to lean. I'll keep my eyes open for this. If I do find out who wins, I will let you guys know. Moving on to our final story of the day. Yes, you notice it's probably going to be a shorter episode today, and I do apologize for that. Apparently, there's a game that's rolling around on the internet right now that allows you to play as the one great and powerful Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord. Amen. So it is the world's first Jesus simulator, which allows gamers to slip into the sandals of the godlike Christian prophet and act out the New Testament's greatest hits. So as Jesus, players can use telekinesis to enhance their carpentry skills, charge up their Holy Spirit energy, perform miracles, invigorate a wedding reception by turning water into wine, teleport inside a sick child's bloodstream for healing, and avoid a ball of hellfire that is Satan in the desert. I guess this was all part of the trailer that was shown off. The prologue for this game is going to be available to play on Steam starting December 1st. Would this be considered sacrilegious? To have a game about Jesus Christ, to cash in on Jesus Christ? Like, did they have to go through the church to approve the making of this game? I would imagine that, like, I feel like I've seen a Jesus game before, or I feel like people have tried to make a Jesus game in the past. This is the first big one that I've seen that looks like, when I saw snippets of the trailer, it actually looked like first-person Skyrim, which is not a bad thing for graphic-wise, but for a Jesus game, I don't know. Something about this just feels icky to me. So like I said, the prologue of this game will be available on Steam December 1st. I would imagine the full game will be available maybe just on Steam in 2023. I don't have any more details on that, unfortunately, but that is all I really have to say about that. Finally, I want to get into our poll question of the week. As you guys know from last week, I asked you guys, are you excited for the future of Gears of War on Netflix? If you are familiar, we got the announcement that Netflix is teaming up with the Coalition to develop a live-action Gears of War film, followed by an adult animated series on Netflix, with Dave Bautista throwing his hat in the ring to want to play Marcus Fenix. So, turns out, multiple people are excited about Gears of War coming to Netflix. You got 80% of people said yes, 20% said no. I was listening to a couple of podcasts, people who were giving their opinions on this. I thought I'd add them to the mix. People over at Project X Talk, that includes Mr. Kevin, I think had said that, like, or it was Kevin or Ryan. One of them said that they were more excited for the adult animated series over the live action. And I think because you can kind of see the more grandiose scope and you're able to kind of do that crazy storytelling of Gears of War and show all that stuff better in an animated series, over a live action film where there's some actual sort of limitations in terms of filming. I mean, you could just kind of cheat it with CGI in a way, but at the end of the day, I feel like there's been more successful hits on the animated side, with reference to Castlevania. I think that Dragon's Dogma series was good, but I really don't hear people talking about it. Cyberpunk Edgerunners is another more popular one that's actually kind of kickstarted the resurgence of cyberpunk now. So there's possibility that the animated series is what people are going to be here for. Otherwise, I am waiting to hear more information about what this is going to look like. Moving on to our new poll question of the week. I think it's pretty obvious. As I mentioned earlier in the show, we're talking game of the year now. If it allows me to choose up to 6 options, I will. If not, I'll just choose the best 5. I want to know, what do you think is going to take Game of the Year this year at the Game Awards? I already know Kevin Ainsworth from Project X Talks is going to choose A Plague Tale: Requiem, but I want to give you the other choices again, just so you know. You got Elden Ring, Horizon Forbidden West, you've got God of War Ragnarok, you've got Stray, Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I feel like I'm missing one, but no, and it's A Plague Tale: Requiem is the last one. So if I did miss one, I apologize, but it will be included in the poll question. As you guys know, the poll question is available at the release of this episode, or a day later than that. It depends on when I remember to do it. Make sure you answer the poll question at Will Key. That's where you can find it on Twitter. And the results will be discussed on next week's episode, or the next time I do record. If I am unable to record next week, which hopefully I'm not, I should be able to record. Otherwise, this brings us to the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You can check out my blog, wkey.wordpress.com, where I occasionally will post feature-length articles, news pieces, or opinions on anything I find interesting. If you want to follow me on social media, here's where you can find me. On Twitter, my personal handle is at Will Key, that's spelled K-E-E. My podcast Twitter account handle is at Podcast Outbreak. If you want to search for me on Redbubble and find 2 unique shirt designs, or you can also use that search link to actually find me on TikTok. You can search at William Outbreak. It's not a link. You just use the username at William Outbreak. I'm available on Redbubble and TikTok as well, where I try to stay consistent at least on one. Haven't provided any updates to clothing on the Redbubble store, and I do apologize for that, but it's also not really bumping right now. So why don't you go over and pick up a couple of shirts, maybe, because Christmas holiday is just around the corner. I'm sure discounts are going to be rolling in for Redbubble. So if you need a shirt, if you need yourself a wallet or a phone case or perhaps a bath mat, shower curtain, you know, the classics that we like to advertise on this show, go tune in over at Redbubble at William Outbreak for the Outbreak Podcast merch. And like always, this podcast is available on anchor.fm/The Outbreak Podcast. This podcast does get distributed to the masses. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Listen Notes, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Castro, Castbox, Amazon Music plus Audible, TuneIn plus Alexa. If I have forgotten anything, I apologize to you, streaming services. Please remember to leave a review, leave a 5-star. If you have a comment, or if you have any, you know, compliments you want to give me to boost my ego and make me feel good, please leave it on one of those streaming platforms. I think Apple is probably the most accessible. So if you are listening on Apple, feel free to leave me a comment, leave me a 5-star review. I'm not going to promote the fact that you can leave a 1-star review. I don't think you should, because I've heard that there are trolls out there that do sort of leave blanket 1-star reviews. Those people are assholes, and don't believe everything they say. This show is definitely at least a 4.5-star show, in my opinion. I'll let the audience decide differently. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week, and have yourselves a great night.